Bickley and Murata, Social Studies.
I'm just letting the tension, the anticipation build a little bit.
You boys chit-chatting in there?
Yes.
Class has begun. Let's go.
Yeah, we are. Sorry, Miss Gazelle.
Hello. How are we doing, guys?
Good.
Okay, you can drop the voice.
Sorry. Okay.
Welcome to Social Studies, everyone. We do this every day at 1 o'clock. And if you want to follow along on Twitter, we've got questions posted by our Jarrett Carlin every day at Bickley_Murata. That is where you can see the questions, participate, and potentially get your answers read.
Is one of the questions, what is 25% of 72?
Man.
No, because I wouldn't know the answer to that either.
It's 18.
Okay. So
they're getting close.
Yeah. That's good to know. All right. Yeah, I just never would have gotten that one.
That's the worst, when you realize something in real time that you're saying is wrong or stupid, which I often do.
Mm-hmm. Do you get the like burning sensation where your body gets all warm? Because that's what happens to me when I realize, I just said something
incorrect. Not because of that, though.
Oh.
But I'm visiting the doctor.
All right. That's enough of you.
Yeah, it is.
For the next 10 minutes.
It's in the corner.
Yeah. Dunce. All right. Super Bowl 55 is set. Like I just said in the update, it's the Chiefs and the Bucks in Tampa Bay. Now, what do you think about the Bucks in the Super Bowl? How do you perceive this team as a sports fan? You are rooting for Bruce Arians. You are rooting against Tom Brady. Or you don't particularly care if the Bucks win or lose.
I'm in a real weird place. I'm A and B.
I am too.
And I don't know how to reconcile that.
Which one is stronger, the love for BA or the dislike for TB12?
For me, it's the first.
Yeah,
I'm pulling for BA more than I'm rooting against Tom.
Yeah,
and Tom Brady, if he's able to pull this off, man, what an accomplishment for him.
Yeah.
But B.A. was, I don't know, and we look at it, I think, a little bit differently. He was so good to us on this show.
Well,
he gave us such great stuff for 5 years.
He was
a great coach.
He gave Arizona such great stuff for 5 years. It was the football time of our lives, man. It was just great.
Yeah.
When you got a guy like that repping you, it's great. Mm-hmm. It's great when you get somebody who just talks all that smack and backs it up and says, yeah, bring it on. I love it.
You've inspired me, Bick. Get on that side and then run at me, and I will lift you over my head like Patrick Swayze in Dirty Dancing.
Yeah, okay.
That'll go over big.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me get my phone out real quick. All right. It's pretty clear cut. We do have a lot of responses that are similar to you guys saying both A and B, but
I would say both.
Based off the poll, it's 54% who are pulling for Bruce Arians. 23% are rooting against Tom Brady. And then, it's 23% who don't care if they win or lose, and 22.6% now who are rooting against Tom Brady. So it's close for second and third, but technically the TB crowd is last right now.
All right.
Keeps moving. All right, moving on to our next question. Tampa Bay, they're having a great sports year. The Lightning won the Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
The Tampa Bay Rays made it to the World Series, though they did not win, famously. And now the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they are in the Super Bowl, and they are hosting the Super Bowl. What is the greatest sports year one city has ever had?
As a dude who's got a couple of Philadelphia buddies as good friends, they'll tell you that nothing will top what happened to Philadelphia in 1980. I think all their major four teams played for a championship.
Mm-hmm.
Only one of them won it.
The Phillies.
The Phillies won, but
Brad
Luzinski,
Larry Boa,
Gary Maddox,
Fake McBride.
Oh, you stole my
Bob Boone.
Eric Myers responded with that.
Manny Trio.
That's a good one.
Phillies, 76ers, Eagles, and the Flyers all played in their respective championship games.
Wow.
But only the Phillies actually won.
That's still hard to beat. But when you add, I mean, the Tampa question is different because now they got three teams going for championships, still a possibility at two championships, mm-hmm. which would be more than Philly.
Mm-hmm.
The Super Bowl's being held in their city.
Yeah.
And for the first time ever, they have an NBA team playing in their town this
That's
year.
That's true. They do. It's the Tampa Bay Raptors.
It's 1A and 1B.
Yeah, it really is. Especially given the pandemic. It's crazy.
Yeah. How about this one from Saint Somewhere? L.A. in 2002. The Lakers, the Angels, the Sparks, and the Galaxy won titles. So I understand that it's not the four major sports.
And again, and I'm not, if people always hear me wrong when I say this, there's just a difference in the amount of civic engagement when you're talking about the four major professionals, maybe even the three, depending on what cities you're in. Mm-hmm. But the four major professional sports hit differently than the niche sports do. And that's just a fact. And I'm sorry. And I'm sorry about that. And I'm not trying to insult Mercury fans or Rattlers fans. It's just the truth.
And they don't really care about the Angels in Los Angeles that much either.
Yeah, I guess it's like
an Orange. That's an Orange County team. How about the 1969 New York Jets, Mets, and Knicks all won the championship?
Yeah, Brooks pointed that out, but he also said that was like 18 months.
Yeah, and Boston gets mentioned quite a bit too, but that's kind of spread out over a couple years and not necessarily one year. Although 2018, the Red Sox and the Pats both won.
Yeah.
Just those two titles.
That was a wicked good year.
Yeah.
Currently, the Dodgers and the Lakers are both the champions.
That's true. Yeah, it's been LA and Tampa Bay.
But we're not going to acknowledge that as a great sports year.
Yeah. We're just moving on from that, aren't we? Okay. Moving on to our next question. You guys covered this earlier. Aaron Rodgers missing out on a trip to the Super Bowl in what was a very disappointing end to the game for Packers fans. I'm not a Packers fan, and I was frustrated by how all that went down. Now, which quarterback's legacy do you believe is most affected by only winning one Super Bowl in their careers? Not that Rodgers is done yet, but who knows what'll happen next. Here are the four guys. Which quarterback's legacy is most affected by only winning one Super Bowl? Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, Drew Brees, or Steve Young?
Brett Favre.
I'm going to remove Rodgers because he's not done yet. The other three are, if Drew Brees carries on with this thing, with his retirement. I'm leaning towards Favre, too. Tell me your reasoning.
Because Drew Brees, his kind of status in New Orleans is bigger than championships. It's his connectivity with New Orleans. That gets added.
Plus the statistical greatness.
Right. So I think he's fine. I think his career, everyone will be happy with. Brett Favre was an iconic quarterback who was up against a couple of great teams in the NFC during that time. The Cowboys, Troy Aikman's, and the 49ers. Got one, went elsewhere, tried to get a second, and threw a huge pick six in that game. Mm-hmm. I just think that Brett Favre was that close to being truly a Mount Rushmore kind of quarterback, and isn't.
Well, and Brett Favre lost the Super Bowl too, right? The other two never did. Am I wrong?
I'm thinking about that.
I don't know off the top of my head.
He lost to Denver. Yeah.
Of course. He did. It was one of John Elway's Super Bowls. That's right.
So the answer is Favre.
Yeah, definitely Favre.
Okay. Yeah, he was the third most popular response for our voters. 57% say Aaron Rodgers.
Wow.
His legacy is most affected by only winning one Super Bowl, but I do think it's fair to remove him from that since he is still going. 24% voted for Drew Brees, 11% for your guys' pick, Brett Favre, only 8% for Steve Young. And our final question, Bic, at the top of the show, you mentioned you got to meet a celebrity this weekend.
Yeah, John Cleese, the famous Brit comedian. In the context of that, he's an icon.
How was that experience?
Oh, it was fabulous. He couldn't have been nicer, couldn't have been friendlier. It was,
Now, did he know he was meeting a celebrity as well?
No. No, he did not. Unless maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he did. But no, I doubt that.
That mullet from anywhere.
But exactly. It was, it was just one of those things where it was so random that it felt like destiny.
Aw. That makes me happy. Okay.
Yeah, it was cool. It was very cool.
So our final question for today's social studies, which one celebrity would you most like to meet and why? So if there's somebody else, Bic,
Bill Murray,
like to throw out there.
Yeah, you throw in Bill Murray, I'm good.
That sounds good. That sounds right.
It's like Vinny just rolling into Adam Sandler at, Gallagher's or something.
I've thought about this a lot.
Uh-huh.
Since I saw the question online. I don't necessarily think it would. I would want it to be somebody who I would be in awe of. Mm-hmm. I would like to have a conversation with them.
Okay.
And there's certain, like, I wouldn't want to come off as, like, a creepy fan dude to anybody.
Yeah.
That being said, Tom Hanks seems like the coolest guy in the world. Dave Grohl. I'm not a gigantic Foo Fighters fan, but Dave Grohl's a cool guy.
Yeah.
They would be near the top of my list.
Those guys you could imagine going up to and them not barking at you. You mm-hmm. could imagine them yes. showing some civility toward you.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, those are two really good answers. Do you have one, Jarrett?
I mean, Willy Wonka.
I already work here on the show, so I've met my two idols.
Oh, thank you, Jarrett. Who's the other one?
Luke Lipinski.
Yeah, okay. Speaking of people who work at the station, Dave Burns, he responded, David Letterman. That's a good one. Yeah. Fashasta Jones says, Larry David, so we can ignore each other. Brian Prescott, Bill Murray, would love to have a round of golf with him. That'd be fun. This one, Daniel Loa says, Ariana Grande, I have my reasons. Similarly, Michael Green says, Rihanna, you know why. Bravo says, I would love to meet Joe Montana. After my dad, Joe Montana is still my hero.
Mm.
And this is a good one from Tommy. He would like to meet Morgan Freeman so that he could record Tommy's voicemail intro.
That's the only reason?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple good answers. Paul Rudd got an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Downey Jr., Tom Brady.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to nerd out too much.
Yeah. I think I need to amend my answer because I put Conan O'Brien, but I would absolutely nerd out and be too scared to have a conversation with him. So that would just be uncomfortable for everybody.
So who would you change it to?
I'm not sure.
You're that big of a Conan fan?
Love him. Absolutely love him.
You know why I can't get that into Conan?
Why?
His hair bothers me so much.
Come on.
The way it bounces around when he talks. I can't. It's all I don't even hear what he says. And that's all I notice.
Nothing worse than someone with ridiculous hair.
I know.
Totally, Jared. Yeah.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, guys.
That's Social Studies every day at 1 o'clock here on Bickley and Murata. Coming up next, more on the NFL playoffs. The overall quality of them next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
And Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Look, there's a lot of excitement, and I do truly buy into the excitement of this quarterback matchup in the Super Bowl. Brady and Mahomes, and I, you know, brought that up off the top of my head, and we had some people chime in with the overall best Super Bowl quarterback matchups. Montana, Marino, yeah, really good.
Yeah, it was a good one.
But in terms of
The past and
the trajectory, I don't think you can top it.
Well, and yeah, yes, I agree with that. I think it. Tom Brady is not in his prime, but again, what I thought going into the weekend that certainly played out in the first half is that Tom Brady now can distill everything about him now into these single game situations, and it's just like that old saying: you're not as great as you once were, but you can be great once, like you used to be. And that's kind of like Tom Brady at this point in time.
Yeah.
He kind of understands: if I summon this one more game, I'm gonna get everything I wanted out of this. And I think that makes him very dangerous in this game. I really don't think. I just think Kansas City is just they just make it look simple. They've just got too much. They've got the best quarterback in the league. They've got the most explosive wide receiver in the league. They've got the best tight end in the league. They've got an incredible play caller. They've just got everything going on.
And it just looks like when they're on offense and they're clicking, it just looks like it's so much fun, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like everybody involved is having fun.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's
what it's all about. That's what professional sports should be about. It's just everybody with equal participation
yes,
and having
it should
fun.
Be.
They also look like a team that was good enough to sort of, even though they got the number one seed, it kind of felt at times that they were sleepwalking through the regular season, you know, and biding their time, that they are now that kind of a team that is good enough to do that.
Well, if you take away that fumbled punt from Mecole Hardman yesterday, that game was a blowout.
It was. I mean, that obviously gave the Bills the ball on the doorstep, and they cashed in. And I thought it was a really interesting start to go up nine like that. But there's no panic at all in Kansas City. And you know, they're just the superior team. Again, nothing against Buffalo. I was wrong. I thought that they would be able to go into Arrowhead. But that was more me buying into the magical qualities of Buffalo that I had seen. And I was buying into that whole Kansas City sleepwalking thing. And we talked about it on Friday, Big. Would Patrick Mahomes show any ill effects? You know, he ran a couple times. Didn't look like the most fluid runs ever.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of his effectiveness, he looked like the same old Patrick Mahomes. So,
well, it was really nice of the Chiefs to roll in that gigantic portable heater and place it right there so Patrick Mahomes could run into it at that one play. You saw that. It's like, what are you thinking?
By the way, how was that not a penalty on Jerry Hughes? He was clearly out of bounds when he got pushed.
I'll tell you why that wasn't a penalty, because Patrick Mahomes did the I'm running to the sideline thing, and then he stopped and spun like, fooled you, I'm getting more yards.
So I think the quality of the Super Bowl, it could be excellent. The quality, I hate to be the damper. I think the playoffs, by and large, have kind of sucked this year. I think yesterday's, the Kansas City-Buffalo game was good.
What did we have last week?
Excuse me, the Tampa Bay-Green Bay game was good. Cleveland and Kansas City was a good game.
Okay.
You also had Green Bay and the Rams.
Not a good game.
The Bills and the Ravens.
Not a good game.
Bucks and the Saints.
Not a good game.
Wild card weekend. Buffalo-Indianapolis was decent. It was a 3-point game. That was the closest game so far in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Rams-Seahawks. No. Bucks-Washington. Probably more interesting than people thought, but... Cleveland-Pittsburgh was a total blowout that got probably closer than it needed to. And then New Orleans-Chicago, Baltimore-Tennessee.
The New Orleans-Chicago only because of the Nickelodeon factor.
Well, and then the Washington-Tampa game only because of their unknown quarterback who dove and played recklessly.
Heineke.
Yeah, that's it. And became the America's next star, even though no one can remember his name now.
Come to think of it, I'll have a Heineke.
Yeah. So, you know what? Sold. I think you're right. These playoffs have been lacking. I felt a little more juice from yesterday's first game than you did, but even that was not...
There hasn't been
a 28-10 game at one point in time.
There hasn't been one great game.
And no classics, no classic endings.
No.
I wonder if any of that has to do with the ambiances of the games not being like a normal playoffs.
We've seen great games in the league, so it doesn't mean that the lack of fans affects the outcome of the game. Mm-hmm. And if the game was good enough, I don't think we'd be talking about there being no fans. We'd be talking about the games. But I'm looking at last year's playoff games, see if there was any great ones. I mean, Kansas City-Houston turned out to be a 20-point game, but you remember the turnaround. I mean, the Chiefs were down huge in that. That was a memorable football game.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll remember many of the games. I'll remember the Saints-Bears game because of what Jarrett said.
Slime cannons. Yeah, that's exactly right.
I don't know. C-plus, maybe, for me.
Maybe a C.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be saved with a great...
It could be. I think the potential is pretty high for a great Super Bowl.
Todd Bowles and that defense is going to have to be monstrously good.
Yep.
You're going to have to really dial something up.
I was just going to say, we'll probably talk about it more as the two weeks go on. The Super Bowl itself is going to feel very weird this year, just because of, I'm assuming, a lot of the pomp and circumstance will be dialed down a lot.
You're assuming that?
But what does the pomp and circumstance have to do with the football game?
It's
going to be a different feel.
Because it feels more than just watching a football game. It feels like a whole event. Usually.
Well, I mean, normally speaking, we'd have hundreds of thousands of people flocking to the Super Bowl site for media coverage. You're not going to have the same level of that, obviously.
Yeah.
It's going to be very cut down.
Yeah. They've shown
the weekend commercial a bazillion times that he's playing the halftime. Is he playing the halftime on the field with, like, 50 dancers and stuff like normal? Or is it going to be one of those things that's like a remote broadcast, like the inauguration thing.
I don't know. The kid that they had playing the national anthem before the game last night was outside the stadium. Played it on the electric guitar. Did you see that, by the way?
I missed it.
Oh, it was pretty awesome. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. How weird that BA won his last Super Bowl in that very same stadium in Tampa.
Against who?
Yeah.
The Waste Management Phoenix Open returns February 1st through the 7th.
With Rory McIlroy.
And we're giving you the chance to win the Coors Light Silver Seats to the Open. Text CHILL to 620-620 for your chance to win. That's CHILL, C-H-I-L-L, to 620-620. We'll hand out some hardware next. Spickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Today's Sanderson Ford poll question on the homepage at ArizonaSports.com. Who will win the Super Bowl? Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not giving my vote. We got shows to do the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, good point, right?
But I
Jared,
will,
you vote.
I will tell you, not surprisingly, 68% of the respondents right now are on the Kansas City Chiefs.
There's not one that's like too early to say.
And using Jarrett math, 68% on Kansas City, 84% on Tampa Bay.
68%? That's nearly four-thirds.
That's nearly a... That's today's Anderson Ford poll question. You can vote on it right now. It's on the homepage at ArizonaSports.com.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata. Handing out the hardware.
Hardware is our version of the award show. We do it on Mondays. It's brought to you by Revitalize. Make changes that can last a lifetime with Revitalize. Give them a call today at 480-435-3557. Check them out online at fatlossphoenix.com. Join the Bickley and Murata revolution. What do you got for me, Bill?
All right, my first award is the How to Win Friends Even When You're Losing Football Games Award. I'm giving it to Josh Allen, and I really think this is a primer for Kyler Murray. If you wanna see an optimum situation of where you need to go with your leadership, Kyler, look at the way Bills players reacted to Josh Allen at the end of that game yesterday. You had two offensive linemen run to his defense, even though he initiated that scrum with Alex Okafor. And then the scene at the end of the game, the most poignant thing to me was Josh Allen just giving hugs to his offensive lineman going down the row. And almost every single guy stood up off the bench to hug him back. And it was a great snapshot of camaraderie. And that more than anything, if I was a Buffalo Bills fan, would kind of make me real excited about where this thing is going.
Yeah, Alex Okafor made me think, but I did this. I was taking a look. I was like, man, there's a lot of former Cardinals just on rosters. The list, and Alex Okafor, Matt Barkley, John Brown, Andre Roberts, Tyrann Mathieu, Evan Bayless, Tremont Williams, Deion Buchanan, Blaine Gabbert, Kevin Minter, TJ Logan, AQ Shipley, Ted Larson, and Drew Stanton. That includes injured reserve and practice squads. Those are all former Cardinals that were on teams that were playing
yesterday.
Okay,
that's slightly alarming.
Yes. My first award is the We've Reached Pathetic Status Award, and I'm giving it to the Houston Texans. Because now, not only have the citizens of Houston planned a march on behalf of the Texans keeping Deshaun Watson, which he called off, the mayor of Houston, Sylvester Turner, is tweeting about it. Did you see his tweets? Houston loves Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans. Houston is a great city that is hungry to back our players and team. As mayor of a city that is second to none, I pray we move forward together. I value Deshaun Watson as a player, but I respect him even more as a person. I know he loves this city because I have seen how much he has given of himself and his treasure to the people in this city. I am humbled to be his mayor. I hope that it won't change anytime soon. It's not pathetic that the mayor did this. It's pathetic that he felt like he had to do it because it's been so bungled by the Texans organization. You had people taking to the streets and now government officials trying to support and patch up what you messed up. The Texans should be contracted.
I like that. That's very well said. I agree with that. The You Need a New Graphics Department Award, I'm giving it to ESPN. I think you saw this one coming, didn't you? The tail of the tape going into the Chiefs-Bills game, you know, they put assets on each side like matchup and you check a box who has the advantage. Somebody put the advantage at quarterback to the Buffalo Bills. Against, yeah. And Patrick Mahomes saw it, and it, what emoji? Did he use a yawning emoji? Is that what he used? Did you see it?
I didn't see his response. I saw the graphic.
Yeah, he responded in sort of like a yawn. I think it was a yawn, kind of like, please. Yeah.
Yeah, that one, as much as Josh Allen has improved and as good a story he is.
That much.
Yeah.
No.
That's just bad analysis right there. My next award is the Par for the Course Award. And I'm giving it to Phil Mickelson. Did you hear about this?
No.
Am I scooping you on a golf thing?
Yeah, I
love
are.
When I do this.
I think you are.
Phil Mickelson, in Friday's second round of the American Express Tournament in La Quinta, California, did something he had never done in 2,201 rounds on the PGA Tour. He parred all 18 holes.
He's never done that before.
Never done that. And he was two over on Thursday, so he ended up missing the cut.
That's incredible.
So 18 pars, no 18 birdies, no bogeys. No.
Exactly. 18 pars the whole way through. Isn't that unbelievable?
Well, because it's not like Phil to go steady. It's like Phil to go up, down, up, down, up, down.
Yeah.
Wow.
So of all players to do that, you probably pick him last.
That's like an episode of Scorigami for Phil, isn't it?
It is. There you go.
Okay, the My Your Tune Has Changed Award, I'm giving it to Rory McIlroy, who once did not like the idea of the Waste Management Phoenix Open, once lobbied the PGA Tour to put alcohol restrictions on a tournament that he wasn't even playing in. Rory McIlroy has committed to the Waste Management Phoenix Open. It's a good get for a tournament that is not going to have Tiger and or Phil. Tiger, I get, he doesn't feel good, his back is messed up again, but Phil is going and playing in Dubai for guaranteed millions. Now, I'm not saying that playing at the Waste Management Phoenix Open should be more important than that, but it is the 25th anniversary of his win.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh.
He's only played once in the last, like, 20 years, though, Tiger.
He's talking about...
I'm talking about Phil.
Oh, Phil?
Yeah.
Your math is off, Jared.
Yeah, imagine that.
There'll be hardly any fans, though.
I know.
That's why Rory's playing.
That's exactly right.
I think he's playing.
Right.
My next award is the We Know You're Losing a Lot Award, but come on. I'm giving it to Mike Krzyzewski, the head coach of the Duke Blue Devils. Lost to Louisville on Saturday and then did his Zoom session. And there was a young student reporter who asked an unbelievably rude question.
I could. I'm just curious as to what the next step forward here is for the team as you guys move into another week of basketball.
Yeah, why don't we just evaluate this game? You know, I'm not into what our next step forward is right now. We just finished the hard-fought game. Yeah, I don't know if, like, when you, what's your major? What's your major at Duke? What's your hardest class?
Econ.
Okay. So say you just had the toughest econ test in the world, and when you walked out, somebody asked you, what's your next step? You see what I mean? Does that, you have some empathy and you know, just give us time to evaluate this game, and then we'll figure out, just like we always try to do.
Find that condescending, Bick?
Extremely.
Yeah, apparently Coach K picked up the phone and called the reporter, Jake Piazza, of the Duke Chronicle afterwards.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he apologized. Piazza wrote, our call was short, but the sincerity in his apology was genuine, and in the end, I appreciated the call.
Man, I was hoping you were going to say he called him and continued to berate him.
Listen here, you snot.
I wasn't done, you son of a... How dare you?
I hope you fail your econ class.
That's funny. My next award is
guys
the...
Guys change when they lose, huh?
Yeah. My next award is the Predictable Profanity Award, and I'm speaking of Mike Krzyzewski, but I'm giving this one to Bruce Arians because I thought it was a little bit sad that as soon as they brought him on the live broadcast last night, the first thing he did was drop an F-bomb. Sort of like, that's what I do. Let me give people what they think I'm going to say. Let me swear here so people can go, oh, Bruce doesn't care. I don't know if it struck you the same way. It just struck me that way.
When that stuff like that happens and that's a trademark, you know who I always think of? Pat Tillman.
Oh, yeah.
Every time Pat Tillman did a radio interview on a show that I was on, he'd get at least one in. And you were always on guard for it.
But he'd always get one in.
He'd always get one in.
Yeah, it was sort of like a challenge.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That, yeah. I mean,
okay.
We know.
Whatever. It was just a moment. I
win or lose,
BA,
we still curse, baby.
I'm glad I got this bleeping trophy, baby.
I got to play this for you.
All right.
I don't know why. I'm just bothered by a lot of what I hear in broadcast media now. I was in the car early this morning, had to go get my COVID test in downtown Phoenix. So I'm flipping through the channels, and I land on ESPN Radio. Keyshawn Johnson's got his former teammate Brad Johnson on. And this question was asked with a straight face.
Well, when you look at Tom Brady, everything that he's accomplished, Super Bowls, 10 appearances, 14 conference championships, MVPs, I mean, on and on and on and on and on and on. If he goes out there and he beats the Kansas City Chiefs, does it solidify him as the GOAT? Like the, just it's not even close anymore?
No. Would mean nothing. And are we still having the debate on who the best quarterback of all time is?
Can somebody revoke his license to broadcast? I mean, seriously.
I kind of wanted Brad Johnson to answer. No. What? Improve that? Another Super Bowl?
He's going to have to do a little bit more there, Keyshawn.
I think the jury's still out on TB12. I got to be honest
with
you.
Wow.
You got one more, Novick.
That is really, really. Yeah, the So Close Award I'm giving to DeAndre Ayton, who was a nominee for Western Conference Player of the Week. The award went to Nikola Jokic. So it, had the Suns not been hosed by the officiating a couple times over the weekend, that award might have been DA's. And I would have loved for him to have gotten something like that.
I'm glad he didn't get it. It's going to make him hungrier.
Whatever he's doing, he's shown the ability to stay hungry now. For a few games in a row now. So this should be and could be commonplace.
Yep. There you go. There's Hardware. We do it on Mondays. Brought to you by Revitalize. Coming up, got some news from baseball that might appease the purists.
Oh. We'll
get into that and more next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata, Song of the Day.
I ain't as good as I once was. I got a few years only now. But there was a time back in my prime when I could really lay it down.
All right. Who is this, Jared? Toby Keith?
Yep.
The rare country song. The rare country song getting through on Song of the Day.
Yeah.
And the title again is exactly
Ding
phrased
Dang
out.
Do.
I ain't as good as I once was, but I could be as good once as I ever was.
That's the title? Or is that the...
No, I think it's just good. Okay. As good as
he asked
I
you what
once.
The title was, Jared. He didn't ask you to improvise something.
As good as I once was. Okay. Was
and this came up on the show last week, too, didn't it? That line?
Yeah. Somebody else brought it up. With a couple of red
was
Matt Schartz, maybe?
Was it Schlereth?
Schlereth, maybe? Yeah, that's who it was.
All right, I've heard enough.
Yeah.
I feel like I need a palate cleanser now.
You and me both.
Just, no, I'm sorry, not a country music guy.
Well, you no, and me both?
He's very country.
Yes. There's like three country songs I like.
Friends in Low Places.
Overdone. I do know that song, though.
Old school country.
Yeah.
Like Waylon Jennings and...
Neon Moon by Brooks and Dunn. Love it. Love that song. I can't think of the other two country songs.
The theme from The Dukes of Hazzard is one of them.
And Ding Dang Do.
Yeah. Ding Dang Do.
There you go.
I would ding dang do anything for love, but I wouldn't ding dang do that.
That was from Meatloaf's ill-fated country album.
From Meatloaf Sandwich. Who's...
Yeah.
Meatloaf and Grits was the name of the album, I believe. Yeah, there's reports coming out, Bick, that the Major League Baseball Players Association has turned down the latest proposal for the universal designated hitter and an expanded playoff format. They could be nixing it, going back to pitchers hitting in the National League. What do you think of that?
Okay. I want uniformity.
I do too. And I've been a proponent of the DH pretty much my whole natural born life. I realize there's people that don't like it and they like the National League style of play. But man, just shudder to think how bad the Diamondbacks offense was last year. Now throw a pitcher in the ninth spot.
And I've kind of flipped as a kid who grew up loving baseball like you did. I always kind of bought into the National League style of play more than the American League style, but I also I don't like being in those situations where you start a key rally, but then you've got 8-9-1 coming up and it changes everything. And so if I was going to side on one side, I'd say go ahead with the DH. I don't know. That's weird. That's weird to me.
Yeah, there's some negotiation that has to go on before we get back to baseball.
It's weird, especially coming off last season. We were like, oh, the expanded playoffs here to stay, universal DH here to stay. Like, that was their chance to show it, and then we probably would never go back, and I guess we are.
Yeah.
The other baseball news from today is Cactus League leaders and city mayors from around the valley have kind of appealed to Major League Baseball to delay spring training in Arizona because the COVID infection rate is so high in Maricopa County. We touched on this during the splash, but let's consider basically that would be, the possibility of a Cactus League schedule and a half without fans, because that's when things got shut down last year was midway through spring training.
Well, as Jeff Passan points out, something that's interesting to me is I think I've got a pretty good idea why they're doing this. They want to max out fans because that is the local revenue component of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Passan tweets out, the most interesting part of this letter is the signature of the mayor of Glendale, Arizona, where the Arizona Coyotes are currently playing regular season NHL games in front of fans. So you've got the mayor of Glendale signing a petition to push back the start of spring training for COVID rates in outdoor stadiums while the hockey team is playing indoors. You got
that? That's a great point. And that mayor, of course, Jerry Weyers.
Jerry Weyers.
Been there for a while.
I mean, is there a story more Arizona than that one? I mean, that's Arizona in the proverbial nutshell.
What, nothing makes sense?
Nothing makes sense.
Does anything make sense anywhere anymore? I ask you that.
That's a good question.
Adam Schefter tweeted out today, there are roughly 10 quarterbacks locked into their starting jobs for opening day of the 2021 NFL season. This is expected to be an unprecedented offseason of quarterback movement. My over-under of teams changing quarterbacks this offseason is 18. I'll go with the over.
Wow.
And then he's got a graphic. Quarterbacks whose futures are in question. Listen to this list. Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, Dak Prescott, Sam Darnold, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Jimmy Garoppolo, Cam Newton, Teddy Bridgewater, Mitchell Trubisky, Jameis Winston, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Alex Smith, and Ben Roethlisberger.
Holy cow.
So we talked about just a short list of like three names that could pop into the NFC West. Yeah. There's possibilities for upgrades all over football. I love that. The player movement, as long as it's not Deshaun Watson, Matthew Stafford, or Aaron Rodgers putting on the red and gold of the San Francisco 49ers, I'm good with anything.
Yeah. So I either think that this thing is definitely going to happen, Aaron Rodgers to San Francisco, because all of it seems a little bit too preordained, if you will. Or maybe it's just a dust-up. Maybe it... Because to hear Bill Barnwell, he thinks that it's just a ploy to get the Packers to give him more, to make more things about him. I don't know. I don't know if that's right.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bill hit on a good point at this timing. You know, the soreness of the loss yesterday still being very fresh.
Mm-hmm.
I get it, but he did do well with the guys that were around him.
You would have a hard time.
That attitude yesterday from Aaron Rodgers might have been more about Matt LaFleur's decision than it was about lack of talent around
him. Yeah, but the whole pregame quote about his future being a beautiful mystery, there's something a little bit weird about that in the context of the now.
Well, I think that's residual from the Jordan Love draft pick.
Okay, so do I. Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. And maybe Aaron Rodgers just wants to be in California. I mean, he's been in Green Bay a long time.
Yep. Now that it's all said and done, and you met John Cleese, and you can mark that off.
Yeah.
Is there anything you wish you would have asked him that you didn't?
Yeah. Can I go back to your place and have some beers with you? Because it's clear we're getting along kind of well here.
It went that well, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, I can look at you like you have a glow about you.
No, yes. It was like it was as unexpected to me as the hug from Eddie Vedder once was.
Wow. Did you smell John Cleese's hair? That's the question.
Doesn't
and
have
if
a
so,
lot.
Couldn't get that close to
okay.
him.
He's 81 years old, you know that?
I'm just glad you had that opportunity, and it wasn't a total disappointment,
yeah.
which is the experience for a lot of people.
I know that.
ASU break the losing streak tonight?
They better. They better, but I have no faith.
Block out. Run down the court.
Yeah, right. Pass the ball.
Thanks to Bill Barnwell for joining us. We'll catch you tomorrow. Burns and Gambo up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We'll see you.